welcome to this week's episode of Around the World in 70 Days, a segment where I discuss major current events and their relationship to our local community. Today, we'll be focusing on Canadian news, with a particular emphasis on positive news. Given the current global situation, I think we all might need a quick break with some good news. Let's get right into it. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is revoking the use of the Emergencies Act, the powerful legislative tool that was deployed in response to the Freedom Convoy protests that erupted in Ottawa and at blockades at border crossings over the past recent weeks. Trudeau said, and I quote, "The situation is no longer an emergency. We are confident that existing laws and bylaws are now sufficient to keep people safe." The Governor General signed off on the revocation on Wednesday afternoon, which formally ended the state of emergency. After a month of fundraising and 1 3-hour flight later, Elder Raymond Ningyochuk is home at last in Coral Harbor, Nunavut. He spent the last year receiving care for conditions including dementia at the Embassy West Senior Living Facility in Ottawa. His plight sparked a protest by people calling for more elder care facilities in the territory after his daughter went public with the $45,000 bill the family was facing to fly him home. On Friday, his daughter, Sarah Nestor, said the family had raised enough money for his return. He is well known in Nunavut. He spent nearly 40 years with the Nunavut Tunavik Incorporated, which represents about 30,000 Inuit. Over the years, he has advocated for hunting rights and made a push for wildlife management plans to reflect traditional knowledge. In January, Netzer said her father's health was declining at Embassy West and he wanted to come home. She also said her family was prepared to take on the work of caring for him. However, because he wasn't cleared by doctors to leave medical care, the territorial government said it could not help cover the cost of his trip home. CBC North's Pauline Pemick said the whole community came out to welcome him home. Horns honk, people cheered, you could feel the happiness, she said. Quebec COVID-19 hospitalizations continue to drop. They're continuing to decrease in Quebec, dropping by 70 on Tuesday for a total of 1,672, with 106 patients admitted and 176 discharged. Intensive care numbers dipped, with a decrease of 5. The number of patients in intensive care due to the virus has now dropped below 100 for the first time since Boxing Day. Oceaga unveils full 2022 lineup for its first full-scale edition since the summer of 2019, with headliners Dua Lipa, ASAP Rocky, and the Foo Fighters. Among those added to the lineup are Charlie XCX, Yaya Yaz, Burna Boy, Kygo, Dominic Fike, and Machine Gun Kelly. Oceaga is set to take place from July 29th to the 31st at Parc Jean Drapeau in Montreal, with 3-day passes starting at $375 and 1-day passes starting at $145. Health Canada authorized Canadian-made COVID-19 vaccine Covifens, a 2-dose vaccine from Quebec City-based Medicago, after clinical trials showed high efficacy. It is now authorized for use in people aged 18 to 64 and gives Canadians the option of getting a plant-based vaccine against COVID-19. According to CBC News, the vaccine uses plant-derived, virus-like particles, which resemble the coronavirus behind COVID-19, but don't contain its genetic material. Health Canada said, quote, "While additional confirmatory data are needed, preliminary and exploratory data shows that Covifens produces neutralizing antibodies against the Omicron variant." Winter roads in northern Ontario continue to be hampered by changing climates, but this season has been better than the previous two. For several weeks each winter, tractor trailers make their way into remote fly-in-only First Nations via a series of crossings over frozen lakes and streams, delivering fuel, building supplies, and other large loads that would be difficult and expensive to transport by air. Warm weather in recent years has led to shorter seasons and slushy conditions, and prompted calls for permanent infrastructure to make transport safer. But this year, nature has provided a reprieve. The Anishinaabe Aski Nation, a political organization representing 49 First Nation communities, released a winter road report on February 4th, listing 10 roads open to full loads, 4 to partial loads, and 4 to light traffic. Ontario long-term care homes, where the majority of residents have 3 or 4 COVID-19 vaccine doses, have been spared mass deaths during the Omicron wave, despite infection levels similar to those seen in early 2020, according to new figures from the province. According to CBC News, 6,572 residents caught the virus between December 15th and January 29th. More than the 6,001 infections confirmed during the first wave that ended in August 2020. But during the recent time period, COVID-19-related deaths of 251 people were reported, compared with those of 1,940 people during the first wave. Construction for a new wind turbine began in Inuvik, Northwest Territories last month. The turbine is expected to be up and running early next year, and once it is, it will make a big difference in the region. During a media conference on Wednesday, officials announced that construction on an access road began in January. The wind turbine is expected to save the Northwest Territories Power Corporation from buying 3 million liters of fuel per year, which will translate to cost savings for Inuvik residents. The federal government recently announced up to $80 million in funding to amend housing supply chain issues in northern and remote Canada. Northern Affairs Minister Daniel Vandal said, quote, "The barriers created by the climate and by the distance are immense, and so are the costs, but they are not insurmountable. This funding will go towards solutions to address how these communities can overcome the long distances to get supplies and the impact of the climate on a short construction season. The funding is intended to help communities adjust due to high cost of materials and labor." The final medal count for Canada in the 2022 Beijing Olympics fell at 4 gold medals, 8 silver, and 14 bronze, for a total of 26 medals, placing Canada at 11th overall. And that's all I have for you today. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your week. Thank you so much for listening. This is Rhiannon with CJMQ 88.9 FM, and I'll talk with you next week.